This is Timmy Newsom, and I'm from Dallas, Texas, former Dallas Cowboys football player and owner of New Tech Business Solutions, and we are talking race, violence, and medicine.
Welcome to Race, Violence, and Medicine. I'm Dr. Brian H. Williams, and I want to thank you for tuning into the show. Our topic today is men's health. It is June, which is Men's Health Month, and I have a very special guest for you today. We have Mr. Timmy Newsom. You may know him from his storied career with the Dallas Cowboys. He's also a business owner and a speaker. And I recently had the opportunity to hear him talk at a men's health conference, and I was impressed by how this elite athlete was able to relate to the layperson when it comes to just generalized health issues. So I thought, you know what? I need to get him to share his story with all of you. Timmy, thanks for joining us on Race, Violence, and Medicine.
Well, it's a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Well, I want to start off with your football career, because when you talked, you said you went to college not expecting to get into the NFL, and eventually you did get to the NFL. So talk about that journey for you.
Well, I attended Winston-Salem State University, and one of the things that we did not expect, my parents and I, was to go to college and play at the professional level. My parents had six of us, and four of us were in college at the same time, so I went to college on an athletic scholarship, in part because I needed the money. And once I got to Winston-Salem State University, which was the only institution that offered me an athletic scholarship, I decided that I was going to use that athletic scholarship to get a quality education. My intent, however, once I got there, was to major in health and physical education. But after practicing three times a day for over 2 weeks, I decided that football may not be in my blood to play 4 years. So during registration, I was standing in line. And in those days, registration was a three-hour process. And there was another freshman in front of me. And we started talking. And he asked me what I was majoring in. And I told him, I was going to major in health and physical education. But I don't think I'm going to play football at Winston-Salem State very long, so I need to think of something else to do. And I asked him what he was majoring in, and he told me business administration, and he was going to minor in computer science. So by the time I got to the registration desk, I had changed my major, thinking that I was not going to play football very long. And as it turned out, I kept playing. And all of a sudden, at the end of my junior year, there was this buzz about me playing at the next level being the National Football League. And so when I entered Winston-Salem State University, I was 6'2", 180 pounds. And when I left Winston-Salem State University, I was 6'2", 240 and ran a 4.5 40.
That just amazes me, because I think that is antithetical to what we typically think about for athletes that go to college with aspirations of professional, playing in professional sports. You went there with the opposite mentality, and then in the end, you end up playing for the Dallas Cowboys. But you get there, and you cannot play your position that you were excelling at because of Tony Dorsett. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because coming out of college, I was projected to play the position of fullback. Although in college, I'd never played fullback. I didn't block very many people, and I didn't catch very many passes. But yet, I was rated in the top five of all fullbacks in the country the year I came out. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we weren't on television, so nobody really got to see us. And whenever they looked at the stats and they looked at my size, they says, okay, well, perhaps he can play the position of fullback because he is 6'2", and he is 240. And in those days, tailbacks weren't that big. And so when I got to Dallas, Coach Landry asked me, he said, well, what position did you play in college? I said, well, Coach, I was a tailback. He says, well, good, we're going to make a fullback out of you. And I'm thinking, I said, okay, but I've never played the position before. And so I struggled a little bit early because I was playing out of position, but I wasn't going to beat out Tony Dorsett. So I had to somewhat adapt to a new way of thinking in that fullback spot, and I was able to do that.
So you described, I think it's a lesson about resilience, that at several steps along the way, your expected path, there was some barrier or challenge that forced you to change, and then you took that opportunity and excelled with that as well. It was back in college, in the NFL. What's the lesson you have there for, you know, people that like me that are not elite athletes?
Well, I think I had a great deal of patience, because even when I got to Winston-Salem State University, playing the position of running back was not really part of my thought process. My aspiration was to play on the defensive side of the football, either cornerback or safety. But Coach Hayes, who was the head coach at that time, told me, he said, look, he said, I've got a lot of quality defensive guys. I need somebody who can run. He said, if you can run, I can use you. If you can't run, then I'm not going to be able to use you. So it was just that matter of factly. And so I figured out a way to adapt to that particular demand and got pretty good at it. And so when I got to Dallas, when Coach Landry said, well, I'm going to switch you from tailback to fullback, I kind of said, okay, well, I'll just figure out how to do it and, you know, move on from there. And so that's what I did.
So, well, tell me how you get from that career in the NFL to now, where you're speaking about men's health. And I will say that, you know, I saw you. You still look like you can run the ball. I mean, you're 61 years old and still in crazy good shape. How are you able to relate men's health issues to regular folks that do not have the genetic blessings that you do?
Well, it's something that I was kind of taught at an early age. You know, when people talk about organic foods, well, I grew up on a farm. Well, to me, organic food meant just regular food. We didn't Right. use a whole lot of pesticides and things of that nature. So we grew all of the things that were nutritious in nature. We had squash, collard greens, string beans. We raised berries. Tomatoes. I mean, just all of those things that would promote nutrition. And so one of the reasons I wasn't weighing a lot coming out of high school is because I was eating very nutritiously. And then when I got to Winston-Salem State, I started eating a lot more carbs. And so that's one of the reasons I gained so much weight in such a short period of time. And of course, when I got to professional football, it was very nutritious oriented, so it wasn't difficult for me to create that kind of an environment for myself once I left the sport. And so what I had to do was kind of refocus my energies and not do too much in the areas of things that was going to promote obesity. And so I just stayed focused throughout the years and just decided to take that kind of approach and something that I was raised on.
So after your NFL career, clearly you're, I'm making an assumption that your athletic, the amount of time you spent doing really strenuous athletics decreased probably significantly. Did you find that there was a change in your overall health?
Well, first of all, when I retired, I had made up my mind that I wasn't going to do anything physical for a year. So I just got sloppy fat for a year, didn't do anything, ate whatever I wanted to eat. And I said, after that 1 year, I was going to get back into a routine. I had always been active as a child. I played football, I played baseball, and I played basketball. So I was always out of the house doing something. And so once I retired, I just figured I was going to do the same thing. And so after that 1 year, I'd always loved tennis. So I started playing a lot of tennis. And I started running more, and I gradually got my weight down to an acceptable level and started eating right. And as a consequence, I've always been somewhat fit. What is surprising to most of my friends is I now run marathons and half marathons. And most people who knows me would say, out of all the people that are that's doing this, we never thought that you would be running a half marathon or a marathon, because I never really liked running a whole lot. I was a short burst kind of a guy, but it was something that I thought I would enjoy. So I just started doing it, particularly because I really wanted to get my weight down so I could play tennis. But I just started running and just kept doing it.
That's interesting. My first race that I ran was a half marathon. And I've since done about five marathons since then. And it's somewhat addictive to the training and completing a race. How many have you done so far?
I've done five total.
Nice.
Yeah, I've done the LA Marathon. I've done the New York City Marathon. I've done the Marine Corps Marathon. And I've done a marathon called Mountains to Beach twice. So the first one that I did, I vowed I'd never do another one. It was just that painful. And then after a few months, I said, you know what? I think I can do another one.
Right.
And so I started getting back into the training. The hard part is getting up early in the morning and trying to get the miles in when there's not a lot of cars on the streets and things of that nature. So I trained and conditioned myself to get up at maybe 4:30 in the morning, and I'd hit the road and start training and running those long distances. And so I now love doing it.
That New York Marathon, that's a fun race. I've done that. And now hearing you talk, I'm motivated. I have to get back into it again. So I need to check off that box and start doing that again. But anyway, back to what you talked about at the men's conference. What's kind of the practical advice you want to give just regular men out there that want to optimize their health?
Well, the first thing I think men need to do is start going to see a doctor on a regular basis. I mean, that's priority one. You've got a chance when you go get checked out and you find that there may be something wrong, where as athletes, you know, pain is something you're told to tolerate. But once you stop that physical activity, when there's pain, that's cause for concern. And so what we men sometimes tend to do, we had this, what I call that machoism, to where, you know, it's pain, but I should be able to take it. Well, the clue is that's a really good indication that there may be something wrong. So the first thing is to go get a nice physical to make sure there's nothing wrong, and then start eating right. Water has always been my best friend. Water is the thing that keeps me fit, and it keeps me full if I think I need to eat something of a junk food nature. And so nutritionally, I just follow a certain routine just about every day: drink plenty of water and get plenty of rest. And those three things have been able to create the environment that has allowed me to keep my weight down to an acceptable level.
So seeing a doctor, drinking water, nutrition, and the point you make about water, I think is important. Most people don't realize that the satiety center in your brain, that part that tells you that you're hungry, it's stimulated by dehydration first. So people
That's
feel hungry.
Exactly right.
They want to eat, but if they drink a glass of water, it may curb that. So water is key. And I've been remiss until I saw you talk. I said, you know what? I got to get back on that. You know what I did, Timmy? Yes, I put an app on my phone to remind me to drink. But literally, I took it off a couple of days later because I read this article in the New York Times about how these apps are like sending up all your personal information to third parties, which is completely violation of your personal privacy. So I'm like, you know what? It ain't worth it. I'll remember to do it on my own. All right. So see a doctor. Eat right, drink water. Those are your three tips for men out there.
That's exactly right. And whenever you get a chance, it's important to of course, exercise. And I even incorporate weight training into my routine. And I find time early in the morning. That is the one time of the day that my phone won't ring and nobody's going to bother me. And so I just get up early and get it over with.
Right. I think as we get older, weight training is probably more important, having that resistance training as we age. So, and exactly. As a doctor, I'm going to validate everything that you've said so far. Nothing seems too crazy to me. So I'm gonna back you up. So let's talk about, you have your own business now. What is that about?
Yes, I've been in business now 28 years. The name of the business is New Tech Business Solutions. And what we are is a managed services company that specializes in unified communications, products and services, and collaboration utilities that allow companies to put in voice over IP telephone systems. And so we do that, and we also do the monitoring all of the technologies within a business. And we've been doing it now for 28 years, and I love it. It's something that I was trained to do in college, and it's something that I did every off season during my career. And at the end of my career, I just decided to form my own business and started doing it since 1991.
Man, Timmy, that's an inspiring story, just from your high school days to what you're doing now, and still being in such great shape, sharing your information with folks that can benefit it and in a way that is easily accessible, and running your own business. I don't have to say, man, I respect you. It wasn't what I was expecting when I went there, and I went away inspired and educated.
Well, thank you. I mean, I was so glad that I was invited to appear, because it's something that we have to discuss among men, particularly African-American men. You know, a significant number of my teammates are no longer with us. And a significant number of my teammates had high blood pressure when we were younger. And those things don't go away just by accident. They have to be monitored and checked on a continuing basis. And so if nothing else, going to see the doctor will be a big help and a boost to trying to find out if there's something wrong.
And part of that seeing a doctor is, I think it's incumbent upon us as a society to remove all the barriers that prevent people from getting to see a doctor.
Precisely.
Timmy Newsom, thank you for being on Race, Violence, and Medicine. If our listeners want to track you down later, how would they reach you?
Well, I'm on Twitter. It's Timmy_Newsom. And I have a website. It's www.nbsusa.net.
Thank you very much. You heard it right there. Timmy Newsom talked about his career from football to business owner. And along the way, he's maintained incredible shape and is sharing his journey with those of us. I'm Brian H. Williams. Sorry about that, Timmy. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and enjoyed it. And hopefully that, people can really begin to, keep moving and do the things that will keep them healthy. And by all means, go see that doctor.
Definitely. This is Race, Violence, and Medicine. I know you're listening, but maybe your family, friends, or colleagues are not. So please share this podcast with them. You can go to raceviolencemedicine.com, or you can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. And I do mean anywhere: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on and on. My main platform is Anchor FM. And also, if you want to check out the newsletter, go to brianwilliamsmd.com, sign up, and I'll continue to bring the information to you. And as always, I want every show to be worth your while. So if you have any comments, critique, suggestions, please drop me a line. You can do it on my website or hit me up on Twitter at BHWilliamsMD. This is Race, Violence, and Medicine. Thank you for listening to the show.